And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Nova Scotia, I hope it's not blowing and raining as much as it is here where you are. Still, it's beautiful, and it is warmed up a little bit, so we are in good shape. Just don't try walking over the bridge. That's my advice for the day. And right here in Astoria, special shout out to Anne. It is time for Arts Live and Local. It's Friday the 13th, a day to celebrate. For me, anyway. I hope for you as well. There is a madhouse of fabulous events going on. We're going to try to cover a little bit of it for you. This is Carol, your host. Thanks for being here on KMUN, Arts Live and Local. Let's start out with Pekka and Perttu. Listening to the music of Pekka and Perttu, and they are Finnish contemporary folk music musicians, and they'll be right here in our area on Saturday night. They're going to be at Kala right after Art Walk, Astoria Art Walk, and then on Sunday they'll be at Valley Bible Church in Rossburg at 3 p.m. Thank you, Janet. And actually, my first guests are going to be telling you about Art Walk coming up. Well, not about the general Art Walk, but about their part of Art Walk. Astoria, no matter what the weather is like, will be filled with good art and celebrations of that art. And here I have Charlie Schweigert and Karen Temple to tell you what's going on in their show. It's Charlie's art show, and Karen has her fashioned poetry, created poetry to go with this. And I'm going to let them tell you about it because the process, I love when people put together the various art forms, but I'm going to let them tell you how it worked. So welcome, Charlie and Karen.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. So what's happening? You are showing new paintings. Abstract paintings, yes siree. Right on,
I thought
Charlie.
You'd bring that up.
Well, most of our listeners may not remember, so you can just talk about the art. And what I'm really excited about is this new three-dimensional work as well. And the name of the show, you tell me, because I've got a long title. I'm not sure if it's all one show, or
the title actually has two parts.
Okay,
I'm calling it
clearing the mind and the holiness of broken things. The first part of that refers to the paintings and the second part to the sculptures.
Ah, okay. Okay.
The paintings are abstract, which, if I remember correctly, I stated on this show that I would never do again.
Famous last words, right.
I was doing birds for that show, and I think I even made the statement that the world doesn't need another banal abstract painting, that I wasn't going to do them anymore.
I see.
But here I am.
What happened?
And these are not banal.
Of course not. We know that. How could you even say such a thing? But what went on in your mind, your hands, your heart? What happened?
Well, there is a connection with the bird paintings that I was doing. The technique that I use in the new abstract work, I sort of developed while working on the birds. And it involves working on a special type of paper that's made from calcium carbonate and resin. Mm. So it's very hard. It's almost like working on stone.
How thick is it?
It's fairly thick and quite strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because I can abuse it in all kinds of ways, and it's and it still responds. It's actually like working on a stone surface. I can etch into it, make marks, and then I developed a technique where I rub in liquid graphite and then wash it off, but it stays in the markings I've made. So it's sort of looks like an etching, and then I'll work over the top with oil color, sometimes acrylics or even watercolor.
Okay, so how does something like this happen? Do you find this new, quote, paper or whatever you like to call it, concrete paper, and say, gee, I wonder what I can do with this? Or how does this happen?
Yeah, that's exactly the way it happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked the paper, and at the time I was working on canvas, and I couldn't quite achieve the effects I wanted because I actually was taking things like sandpaper and Makita grinders to canvas.
Nice. Not good.
Quite often went right through the canvas.
Yeah. No
surprise. When this paper came along, I just switched to it and fell in love with it right away and been working on it ever since.
And does it lend itself more to abstract?
Not necessarily. It's just the way I tend to use it.
Yeah, we have, you're the perfect person because you are so creative and so eclectic, if I might say, to explain, maybe, how this happens, that especially after you've sworn off something. We do have one other painter around, Bill Dodge, who swore off painting entirely, was presumably getting rid of everything. I think he's close to 80, though. You're not there yet. So
I am getting older, and I figure I can do whatever I want now. So
like you never have. Yeah. Okay. And then where did the three-dimensional work come from? Is there a relationship between the two, or are they?
Well, the end result, it has some similarities, that the paintings are very linear in quality, and the sculptures are very linear. They have I've used rusted metal that I've put together with, in sort of a strange way, using wire and solder. And so it ends up having sort of a tracery effect on the surface, or at least on some of them.
Do you wear gloves when you're doing this? Or?
No.
Mm-hmm. You get a tetanus shot in advance?
I should. Yeah, I made sure I had a tetanus shot.
Seriously.
I burned myself a few times with a soldering iron, but it goes with the territory.
Well, I'm just thinking about using rusted metal.
Yeah, I'm pretty careful.
Yeah, that's good. Are you looking for people who have rusted metal around? Are you still going to be working
in
this area?
Yes, absolutely.
This is serious, folks. Yeah, no, seriously. I think it's a great way to recycle some of that. Yeah. Now, how are you involved in this?
Well, I encountered these pieces for the first time during the last studio walk.
Oh, yes.
And there they were. And eventually, Charlie let me purchase a piece, and it was in my house. This was not a planned collaboration at all, unlike what I did with Lucian, for instance, for the Weimar Project.
Right.
And so the piece that was in my house, it was about St. Catherine of Alexandria, whom I had already written about in my saints book. And ironically, I thought I was sort of done with writing about saints, but I guess they weren't done with me. So the pieces just are so evocative in the literal sense for me, in that they bring out my voice. And I would say it's not an interpretation or an exegesis of what I see. It's a response to the pieces. And the joy was to have them all one by one in my house and talk to them in my living room.
Wait, you bought one piece. How did they all end up?
Then they got loaned. They came traveling over, yeah.
The saints come marching in, as it were.
Exactly.
To Karen's
and
house.
So I would commune for some days or a week or whatever.
Wonderful.
And another poem came. And most of these poems came more easily than much of my other writing, I must say. I mean, it was just really this almost a little bit like a religious service where you have something and then there's a response, except it's all words in a service, and here it is image and words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been fabulous, and it may be ongoing some more. This may not be the end of the line, but there are 9 pieces right now that I wrote poems for.
Wow, that's fantastic. How many pieces are there all together?
I think there are 22 sculptures in the show, 16 paintings.
Wow, that's a large show, too.
Yeah.
We should tell you this
gorgeous.
Is at the Riversea Gallery in Astoria. It's opening tomorrow night during Astoria Art Walk. So, and I'll tell you this right now, and then I'd love it if, Karen, you could read us a poem. Do you have one there?
Mm-hmm,
good.
I do.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe if you choose to show up at 5 during at the very beginning of Art Walk, you will be treated to some poetry by Karen. Is
and
that?
Commentary by Charlie.
And commentary by Charlie.
We'll walk around the room, do our little dance.
Oh, my. Oh, that's going to be fun.
We
wonderful.
Think so. Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have a microphone for Charlie? Okay, Karen, give us a
poem. It's a small room. They
well,
all hear me.
We talked about which one would be appropriate and accessible without having the piece next to it. And so the one that we picked is about Saint Sebastian. There are several saints in there and other sort of holy objects. The first verse, the first stanza, describes how Saint Sebastian is usually depicted in art through the centuries. And then the rest is how this piece is. Okay. Saint Sebastian. Not the naked body of a pretty boy, studded with arrows where blood flows, but a portable reliquary to own and carry home for contemplation of wounds that do not bleed red. Toy arrows piercing the casket of wire wound and bound, footed on silver skeins. The arrow of arrogance, the arrow of rejection, the arrow of betrayal, the arrow of complacency, the arrow of condescension, the arrow of intolerance. Trust to open the lid and reveal the hidden immutable target, filament pendant of the forgiving heart.
Mm. Very nice.
This is a good example of how well Karen was able to tune into these pieces. She actually called me and she had the piece at her house, and then I took it back, and then she was working on the poem and called me and asked me how many arrows there were, and I had to go count them.
Yes, well, some people,
six.
Right? I was sitting here. Let's give a little background, though, Karen. This is not obviously. This didn't. this is not what I would call a coincidence. This is absolutely meant to be, because you have put out, is it one or two books of
two
poetry?
Books about saints. Yeah.
Saints. But Curran's saints books are a little different from what most people expect or are accustomed to reading when they read about saints. Tell us what your, where you came from with all of that.
Well, the two saints books, the first one was In the Company of Saints, and the other one, So Great a Cloud of Witnesses, they hook into mostly personal experiences of some way or another, either from my pilgrimage or from my childhood and what have you. In that respect, these poems are different because they're specific to the piece, although, you know, there is that in there too. But the language and the hagiography comes easily to me after already mm-hmm. having worked on saints mm-hmm. for a really long time. And some of the poems of that go with the pieces are actually of saints I've written about before, mm-hmm. like St. John the Baptist and Hildegard. But they're different, very, mm-hmm. very different. Mm-hmm. It's not a repeat. And the St. Catherine one particularly too. So it was fun to come at it from a really different angle, yeah.
Charlie, did you know, were you familiar with Curran's saintly background, as it were?
Yes, I have both of her books.
Okay.
Oh, she actually has more than two.
Yes.
Only two saints books, but yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about her seeing your work and being inspired to do this?
Well, I was thrilled by it.
Yeah. I would be.
It's worked out really well, and the poems just fit the pieces perfectly. And, you know, I can't imagine a better collaboration.
I'm very excited.
It started out, as I said, with St. Catherine. There was one Sunday morning after she'd just been with me for a few days.
St. Catherine.
Yeah. Yes. And I thought, I need to write Charlie a note and try to express my reaction to this piece. Well, before I knew it, I was sitting and writing a poem. That was the note.
Which is why I mentioned your background in the poetry, because it what
just
came
flowed.
Rather than just writing a response to it, you went, well, I think it's very exciting, and it must be as for an artist to have an artist in a different genre respond in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I should mention that not all the sculptures are religious in nature. I started with doing reliquaries for particular saints. Then I expanded the idea of reliquary to include vessels that might, contain the remains of something that we hold dear. And then I expanded it beyond that to things that we may not hold dear. And then I also expanded it even farther to include emotions and sentiments. Yeah, my latest piece is one I call, it's an ark, and I call it Ark for the Reconciliation of Differences. And it's got all kinds of political symbols inside of a boat shape.
That's the one that is pictured in the press release, I think.
It has a
wonderful
Christian cross and a Star of David and a star and crescent and a set of keys to represent the Palestinian homeland,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or eventual homeland, mm-hmm. we hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you worked, you started with the reliquary and religious images. Where did that come from? Is that something that you've used in your artwork before, or is this?
No, it's entirely new. I wanted to do something three-dimensional, especially using rusted metal somehow. And so I had in mind vessel shapes, and they just sort of evolved into the idea of a reliquary, holding the remains of something.
Why rusted metal?
Well, I've always been intrigued by it. It's really interesting to work with. But I wanted to work with it in a way that sort of transformed it into something else. I didn't want to do vessels that were like made of gold and encrusted with jewels.
Don't worry.
Like something Fabergé would do. I wanted to do something with humble materials.
Right.
They have a feeling of ancientness, as if they had already been buried or something. And by the way, the title, The Holiness of Broken Things, came with that first poem. And then I offered it to Charlie to use it for the whole show because it seemed so beautiful.
beautiful collaboration. My guests, Karen Temple, the poet, among other things, and Charles Schweigert, artist in many genres. And in this case, Clearing the Mind and the Holiness of Broken Things, Paintings and Sculptures and Poetry, opening this Saturday night. I'm presuming the poetry is only at the opening. You didn't write out some of the poems. Oh, you did.
Well, the pieces that have poems associated with them have the poems on the wall next to them.
Okay.
Printed out. Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. So people who can catch it at River Sea Gallery on Commercial in Astoria during Art Walk tomorrow evening, 5 to 8, or anytime within the next month. Thank you so much, and congratulations to both of you. It sounds very exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
We're very
Thank
happy.
You.
Yes, I bet you are.
And we hope there'll be a book out of it someday.
That's what I'm picturing there, that moving forward and stuff. So, yeah, good.
Thanks for having us, Carol.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And that is tomorrow evening. And there are, as I mentioned, lots of galleries and shops in Astoria that will be featuring artists. The Astoria Art Loft is featuring Kitty Paino, Gala, Tim Lydiard, Kristen Schock, and Zach Caswell, Imogen Gallery, Reed Clark, April Cipini, perhaps, and Christos Koutsouras. And Tempo Gallery is featuring members' miniature artworks. Old Town Framing is doing what they do every year. They feature a silent auction of work from various artists to support the Little Ballet Theater, the Nutcracker. And the Astoria Visual Arts, Artists in Residence, and yes, that was plural, we have Kinsey Gordon showing at 80 11th Street, and Liz Harris at 1170 Commercial. If all goes well, I'll have them on the show next week. We ran out of time for this week. And those are all 5 to 8. The Light Box is from 6 to 9. Como Oigan Los Niños, How the Children Play, photography by Calvin Chen. All on Saturday night. Hey, it is 3:22 here at Coast Community Radio. This is Carol, your host. Let's hear a little bit more from Pekka and Perttu. Yes, I do enjoy saying their names. It's true. And why? They're Finnish contemporary folk musicians, and they will be at Gala right after the Art Walk and also in Rosberg on Sunday. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to try it. Their full names, Pekka Pentikäinen and Perttu Paapanen. That's it. That's the only time you'll hear me say it, but they are just delightful and playing this weekend. Well, my next guest, whoa. Hello. My next guests are braved this windy weather to come across from the Washington Peninsula, but they're stalwarts. They're used to braving whatever they need to brave, and for that matter, this is nothing, right, Bruce? After all, you and Wendy have traveled all over the world doing all kinds of things.
I like the weather here. I have no problem at all with the weather.
I love the weather
here. Yeah, I enjoy it.
As long as you don't blow off the bridge. Don't walk it.
If you get away every now and again, everything's fine.
That's true. A little perspective there. Well, they are here from Betsy Millard is my other guest. Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
And Betsy is actually the director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. Bruce, do you have an official title? Are you on the board or something, or you're just the...
I'm a friend of the museum.
A friend of the museum.
I am a friend. I'm a dear friend of the museum.
He is the husband of Wendy Peterson, who is on the board.
Oh, there you go.
And he's our go-to guy.
I see.
And Mr. 6x6.
I know he's Mr. 6x6 because he is a dynamite auctioneer. This is one of the funnest auctions, live and silent. Is that right? You're doing, or just...
Oh, yes. We have just over 60 items this year.
60.
And I'd like to take, just if I could,
please,
Carol,
please.
I'd like to thank all the artists. We have this.
All 60 of them?
Out of 60 artists, a few people gave us doubles. So that translates to about 55 artists, I think.
Okay, but we're not going to use all their names right
now. No,
yet.
But as a group, I mean, definitely. They're hugely generous, and they're amazingly creative, and they help us every year. And
we
couldn't do this without them.
Absolutely. Some new ones, some new folks from Astoria who joined us this year, and some new folks from the peninsula who joined us, and so it's amazing the work that gets done, and and this year the bird theme.
Well, I did not even realize there was a bird theme until you handed me this beautiful card, Bird's Eye View. So how does that manifest? Did all the artists need to try to...
Well, we just thought it'd be fun to give people a kind of a jumping-off point.
A bit of a theme.
Essentially, we're still into 6x6. Yeah. We're trying to stay with smaller art, some that's easier to auction. It's easier for people to buy and put up on their walls. I tell people at the auction, if you don't have room for a 6x6 at home, it's not that you're full, it's that you have a hoarding disorder. anybody can fit a 6x6-inch piece of art in their home. So we're hoping that encourages
Bruce has never been to my house, obviously. But
we are doing an exhibit in the main gallery at the museum, which is actually up until March, called Birds of a Feather, which are five artists who get their inspiration from birds. And so the bird's eye view theme for 6x6 meshed beautifully.
Well, you know, I did go to the website. I have it actually standing there because I just flip over to it now and again. Because you posted them all, and it's just a feast for the eyes. It's just quite gorgeous. But even so, although now I'm thinking about it, the three-dimensional ones that I saw must be a birdhouse. But
birdhouses.
I didn't even think of that. Now, Susan would have immediately realized, our development director, who happens to be a devout birder. But people could do all kinds of work.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and they have.
And they have.
Yeah. We have one artist, Lisa Matfield, who did the most exquisite bird's nest. She researched how the weaver bird builds its nest, and then she replicated that with yarn and straw and made little ceramic bird eggs. And
oh my.
It's really amazing. And if you win that at the auction, you get the link to the video that she actually watched and watched and rewatched in order to build this
right.
beautiful nest. It's just
amazing. Makes a wonderful connection. It's just terrific.
And obviously that would be in the live auction.
Yes.
That one is.
Yes. Yes. We've had some great constructions as well as flat art. I mean, the paintings, drawings, and photographs.
I like the idea of giving people that parameter, but then letting them run free.
Well, we want artists. That's what we want. Yeah. So, and part of that's breaking the
free,
rules.
Huh?
So we encourage a little, you know, we want them to stretch it.
And I might add that Bruce himself is an artist. He's a photographer. And do you ever put stuff in the auction?
I do. In fact, I have a couple this year.
You do?
Yeah, that I'm happy with. One in particular that I'm happy with that we'll be talking about at the
they're
auction.
They're both beautiful. Oh. Don't let him tell you only one. They're both really beautiful.
Wow.
We wouldn't let him get away with not putting one.
Oh, there you go.
Well, we have a few other photographers. I've been overshined. We have a couple of photographers. We have Michael Daitoli and Dirk Swearingen and Mark Tyler. We have some photographers that have
really stretched.
So you've
got
really
photography and... I don't even know what to call the construction that you just described, the weaving kind of
It is.
Piece.
We call it mixed media.
Mixed media. And
we have oil paintings and acrylics and some Sumi stuff.
And some wonderful ceramics. The folks up at Bay Avenue Gallery, the number of ceramic artists up there, and they took it on and did some really fabulous things with ceramics.
And this
year.
Is all within the 6x6?
Pretty much, yeah.
Close
I mean,
enough.
The birdhouses are, it might be a 6.25.
Okay,
but none of
enough.
Them get that much beyond that. So they're all very... compact and able to be placed nicely on a shelf.
Okay, now this is all at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. Can you tell folks who may not have been to the museum? It's a beautiful museum. It's just wonderful. Tell us a little bit about the museum. It's in Ilwaukee, Washington, on the peninsula.
Yes, we're up on Lake Street in Ilwaukee, so we're sort of one block towards the port from Highway 101. Go to the light and turn left. And it's been around for about 35 years. It's an amazing institution in that it's big for a small
exactly.
community. We're in the old telephone utility building. And back in the 80s, a group of people in Ilwaukee came together and said, we need a museum, and started to make it happen.
Oh, my.
And it has just grown and grown and grown. And it is a truly community museum. It's just chock-a-block full of amazing stories.
And your exhibits are quite diverse.
Very much so, yeah. And we have a wonderful collections manager who takes care of things so that people feel very comfortable donating their precious
nice.
Family stories and items to the museum, because we take it very seriously, and we do everything to the, you know, sort of professional level that a museum should have.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your own historical society here.
Was
so.
Your background in museums?
Art museums.
Art museums.
Yes, I was the director of the Contemporary Art Museum in St. Louis for 10 years prior to retiring. And this is my retirement job. It's so much fun.
I love it. That's what happens around here.
Yes.
Nobody gets to retire. They
no. Well, it also means, though, that a lot of folks are really overqualified.
Yeah.
But no,
well, I mean, Betsy's been a huge asset
yes.
for us,
museums
and it's really up the game.
Museums are such special places, and they're just so, regardless of where you are, the size of the museum, a museum has great heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a fan of museums, and that's why, and I think that all the artists and people who've been involved in things like this, like the Bird's Eye View, they're fans of museums.
Mm-hmm.
And so we
want to support it.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
And then the bidders, those are the folks we need.
The bidders. That's not, that's with D's, not T's. Not T's. And so folks come to this, and you also usually have some goodies and snacks, is that right?
Yeah. Yes. The museum ladies are busy in the kitchen as we speak, and they do a nice big layout. Tickets are $10, and there's sort of heavy hors d'oeuvres, and we have, you know, wine and beer and that sort of thing. And then Bruce just does a great job.
He does. He's basically a stand-up comedian, so folks, it's worth going to see the show in addition to all the art. But yes, every piece in this exhibit should go. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, they will. We have so
and they usually
stuff.
Do.
And I appreciate your comments, but I would like to stress this is a fundraiser for us. And quite
absolutely.
Frankly, it's our major and only fundraiser during the year. And so it's really important to us that people come out and support us.
I have a question. If somebody does go online to Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum.org and sees something there that they like and says, you know, I can't get there, but I would love to buy that. Is that a possibility? Or
well,
what?
The live items are, no. It's anybody's right. guess sure. what they'll go for. But we do have a what we call the buy it now option,
okay.
which we do put okay. a pretty high premium on
but
that.
But they're all different?
The buy it now
same?
Option is okay. one price, $250.
Okay.
But if you wanted to leave a bid, if you email or call the museum between now and noon tomorrow, because come noon, things start to
right.
get
you can't,
going.
You can't depend on the telephones they have at the auction itself.
That's true.
But no, you can no.
You could leave a bid, and we'd be happy to put it into to our communications director, Carla Nelson, mm-hmm. who does take care of all the, because we do have a number of people who have left bids.
Yeah. So a proxy-style yeah. bid. And what else do we need to know about this?
It starts at 5 o'clock, and from 5 to 6, it's a good time to eat, drink, look at art, start putting your silent auction bids in, picking out what you want to bid on in the live. Bruce usually starts the live at right about 6.
Yeah.
And
we also have a great raffle program. We sell just 50 raffle tickets for $20 a piece.
Okay, we're not going to do prices anymore.
So I'm sorry. At any rate, we have some tickets available. Yeah. And what it is if you there's a limited amount, and if you were to win this, you can select any piece of art in the entire exhibit.
Wait, but you pay for it.
You have to buy a ticket, but there's a limited amount of tickets.
But if you win,
you get your pick of any of the artwork.
You just take the artwork?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to pay more for it?
No, it's a raffle.
Holy moly. Okay, what do they do to get in on that one?
Well, you can either call and handle that over the phone or come on down and see us at the museum. But again, you'd clearly have to have that ticket before 5 o'clock tomorrow. So.
Okay, so they can't come at 4:45 and buy one.
Oh, you can buy one up until 6 o'clock because that's when he does the drawing, right before the live auction.
Yes. Okay, so if there are any left, because this is a limited number,
there are 50
if you're a gambler, folks, this is a great way to go. And the bottom line is it's not that high. It's a contribution to the museum. And if you don't win, you can still buy yourself a piece of art.
That's right.
The normal way.
It is absolutely true.
But fun deal.
People have great fun with the raffle.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You pulled the...
Well, we select someone. They don't want me to do
it. I was wondering
that.
If...
No,
you
they
know,
don't trust me, really.
And they can buy you off, so...
Okay. Yes, I'm easily purchased, yes.
Folks, this is Bird's Eye View, the 6th annual 6x6 auction at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, 115 Southeast Lake Street in Ilwaco. Check out the website. You will be impressed. ColumbiaPacificHeritageMuseum.org. And then just show up tomorrow evening at 5 p.m.
I can give you the phone number real quick since we've been talking so much about it. It's 360-642-3446.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much, Betsy Millard, director of the museum, and Bruce Peterson, friend of the museum and supreme and husband of the board member and supreme auctioneer. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us, Carol.
And I've got a little bit of music from Luke Yitzte because he is going to be together. I think they're at the Sou'wester. Ryan Stively and Luke Yitzte, Saturday night, 8 p.m. at the Sou'wester in Seaview. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio.
Thank you. might have been asleep, and I was singing low. It's getting light already, stealing between the trees, into the window glass, blackbirds.
Is our very own Luke Gidsty, who's playing all over the place, but in this case he is playing Saturday night with Ryan Stively, or Ryan's playing with Luke. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to work out, but I'm sure it'll be good music. By the way, folks, I do want to remind you, tonight is big, heavy night for theater. The AAUW Visiting Mr. Green is Friday and Saturday night, 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center. The Peninsula Players are putting on The Birds. Yes, that The Birds. At the River City Playhouse in Ilwaco. And it is Friday and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 2 through the 22nd. And Bob Goldberg's in that one. And he's my counter folk musician. Riverbend is putting on 2 one acts through the 22nd, Friday and Saturday 7, Sunday at 2 at the NCRD by Tom Stoppard and Mr. Houghton. And the Columbia River Maritime Museum has a show from 5 to 6, Michael Mathers, Inside Astoria. Coaster, Once Upon a Mattress, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 till 12, till December 20th. Astoria High School, The Curious Savage, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sundays at 2. Shakespeare is in Chinook, 7 o'clock at the School Events Center. And the Ilwaco Jazz Band will be there. Seaside High School, The Bold, The Young, and The Murdered, 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday at the Adrift. They've got their fabulous music all the time. Hopefully I'll have time to give you Saturday as well, but right now I have two guests. I don't know what's going on. This is very mysterious, but very mysterious, because these two gentlemen showed up suddenly one day in my radar. And they never left. They just keep popping up all over the place. And I booked this artist to come in, and I go out there looking for him, and oh my God, there they are. So welcome.
Thanks very much, Carol.
Okay, so Peter Nevins is the voice you just heard, and Peter is a featured artist at Luminary Gallery this Saturday night. I mentioned that it's Art Walk. And
Richard.
I got the Richard part.
Bracky.
The last name again?
Bracky.
Oh, yes, that's right. Bracky. Okay. So, what I know about you now is that you're a woodblock print artist, and I need you to tell us more. I happen to love woodblock prints, so.
I do too.
And I hope so, because you're making us.
I used to paint a lot, and I used to paint everything with big, heavy lines around it to make it look like stained glass or look like a woodcut. And I had a friend who was a great painter, and one day he handed me a black canvas, and he said, "Start from this." And then I learned to paint the negative, paint the light onto the dark, and that's really the genesis of my whole woodcut education. And I've just learned by...
This is definitely what you call self-taught.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, really, just copying the masters. I mean, looking at the masters and trying to figure out how they did those shading techniques. Mm-hmm. And so my stuff's not strictly classical, but it's as close as I can get it. It gets closer, and I have sort of mythological subjects and a modern, maybe psychedelic folktale kind of narrative sort of way.
Okay, it's growing here. We start with classical, we end up in psychedelic. I like this. I can see that. This is going to be a short interview because my last guest, and we weren't sure he was going to make it, did show up. But Richard, tell us, because we're going to be seeing a lot of you guys. You're here, right?
We really are, just up the street.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Thanks.
And you're also an artist. What kind of work do you do?
Well, we moved here... We moved here at the end of June, and we've been doing a lot of setting up our studio. And so I'm a painter, and I also do lapidary work, making Columbia River bead stones, actually, that I collected out on the Columbia River beaches.
Wow.
And I'm looking for equipment right now, so I'm not doing that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But hope
so if somebody out there's got lapidary equipment.
Oh, yes. Look me up.
There you
Facebook.
Go.
Facebook.
Okay. Give us a look up, because since we don't have time to talk too much, I do want to urge you folks, as I've mentioned, that Art Walk is 5 to 8, and Peter is, how long you been in town? Since June?
Since June, yeah.
Okay.
And it feels really great to be here, and... if you want a preview of the show, you can go to my peternevins.com. That's N-E-V as in Victor, I-N-S.
Right.
Peternevins.com.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're so happy about the Luminary Arts show, and that's the first place that carried our work in town, and Charlotte down there has just been a real star.
She's fabulous.
Star.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And she is a fan of yours,
and Diane, too.
Yes. So.
Oh, thanks for saying so.
So that's wonderful, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Now, the show is up through December 7th. So if for some reason you're doing one of the 5,000 other things that are going on and you can't get there tomorrow night, do get over to the gallery. And tomorrow night, you will be there, though, right?
Both
of you will be at the gallery. Mm-hmm. So other folks can see who these people are, and you'll probably say, oh, them.
Yeah.
I know them.
You know, Liam.
Those guys.
Uncle Dorky.
Yes.
Well, he said the same thing. He said, you are just popping up everywhere.
It's
like
true. Like a good penny.
Thanks, Carol.
It is Friday the 13th, after all. It's wonderful. I'm so glad to meet you formally. For the third time, in
yes.
a different guise, though. And I'm looking forward now to seeing your work. So, very
Thanks
exciting.
So much,
Peter Nevins and Richard Brocky. And the show is at Luminary. It's tomorrow evening through December 7th. And we'll get you back in here another time when there's a full spot.
Cheers.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks
everybody. For coming in. Okay. And I'm going to tell you what else is happening while these folks leave and send Corey in. Tomorrow, Saturday, Astoria High School and Astoria Middle School have a visual art show at Barbie's. That's the Maritime Museum, and called Mixtape, 5:30 to 7:30. Columbia River Symphony, we're going to be hearing about in a minute. And Sal Wester is featuring, I told you that one already too. Oh gosh, I got through a lot of it. Pitchwood Inn, Raymond Washington, 9 o'clock, Massey Ferguson. Sand Dune has Paradox. Grace Episcopal Church is got an art sale and show 10 to 3 tomorrow. It's over for today. Tolovana Art Show is at the Cannon Beach American Legion, opens at noon. The reception's at 6, and they're open Sunday as well. And at Kennemich Library, Urban Wait, 2 p.m. with Sometimes the Wolf. Sunday, there's a paint party at the Art Loft from 2 to 5. Fort George is featuring Billy and Dawn and folk and bluegrass and maybe their Rabbit Wild. I'm not sure. I've gotten different reports on what's happening there. Just go over there and have yourself a blast. Evensong is in Cannon Beach at the Community Church with Jennifer Goodenberger and Wes Warmond. And Fort Clatsop is featuring at 1 o'clock Dismal Niche. And, okay, I don't need to tell you any more because my last guest is here. And I told him to be really careful because he drove all the way from Jewel School. We've got to slow this man down. He's still young, but I don't know if he's going to last much longer.
He's turned 36.
Yeah, you are. I was shocked, actually, when I discovered that you are. My guest is Corey Peterson. And what's shocking is not the fact that Corey is the director and conductor of two groups, Columbia River Symphony and North Oregon Coast Symphony. Okay, I understand. However, the fact that he's doing how many concerts in like 2 weeks from two different groups?
We got four, and then the Nutcracker is also going.
Oh, and the Nutcracker, too. Holy cat. Plus, he's a relatively new father. Not totally new, but relatively.
18 months.
And his wife, Angela, is also a musician, and they both work in the school. So the whole thing is bizarre.
Yep.
But Columbia River Symphony, Autumn Magic. Mm-hmm. And this is, just for logistics folks, Saturday, this at tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Masonic Lodge. And then Sunday at 3 o'clock at Coastline Christian Fellowship in Olney on Highway 202. And let's just start with that. Tell us a little bit about, I saw you wrote Harmony and Peace for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Well, so basically, putting this concert together was looking outside, and I often do this, my wife and I, we often like nature as part of our daily structure away from all the chaos that we're sometimes put into. And also being the political season has also played a little bit into this as well, and looking at where our world is currently with, unfortunately, ISIS and all sorts of unfortunate things going on. And using the fall as everything is changing, constantly changing. Mm-hmm. It's a cycle that goes on just like everyday life in our planet. And I thought, what a better way to celebrate human life instead of all this nasty and negative stuff going on. What about the warmth that people can provide and about the differences and celebrate those differences that people have all across the world and not just sit there and just be closed-minded. Open your minds and be thinking about how someone else or another culture might accept something and then present that through some music.
So what kind of music are we going to hear on tomorrow and Sunday?
Well, one of them is titled Anasazi 2. It's actually part of a collection of music, but this is just the second part called The Night of the Yellow Moon. And this focuses on the early Native American culture that used to settle down in the southwestern part of the United States. And so it'll be just some, it's the harmony in there, let me put it this way, is very unique sounding, very interesting. It's a little bit dissonant at times, meaning a little bit of clashing, but that's on purpose. And, and through the whole process, as you're at the concert, you'll read in the program notes and whatnot, how this music depicts those individuals living down in the Southwest and their daily life.
How many folks are there in the Columbia River Symphony?
It's not as structured as some of the symphonies because we do include some of the youth in there from the school. So it's hit and miss depending on sporting seasons, but on average about 55.
Wow. That's a large group. Mm-hmm. And this started as a youth symphony.
Yeah.
So
hard to believe we're going on, I believe, 10 years
next
year.
Oh my gosh, really? I hadn't kept track.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. It started as a youth group, and then the parents all got in on it.
Yeah, they did.
And everybody else in town, because they love. Okay, so that is Saturday, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, the Masonic Lodge at 16th and Franklin, and then Sunday at 3 o'clock at Coastline Christian Fellowship only, in Olney on Highway 202.
And that's only about 8 or 9 miles out, which isn't as far as many people may think.
Right. No, it's very accessible. Mm-hmm. And it's right on the highway, isn't
it? That's correct, right on the right-hand side.
Okay, now, North Oregon Coast Symphony, So that's the 14th and 15th.
I'm trying to keep all my dates.
Then on the 17th, oh, this one's just an open rehearsal mm-hmm. at the Cannon Beach Community Church. And then Friday, a week from tonight at 7 o'clock, is at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, that's also true. 16th and Franklin, across the street from the Masonic Lodge where you're performing tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday you'll be at Rockaway Community Church on the 22nd at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Exhausting. What? And that is called Norwegian Melodies. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, looking where we live, I mean, first of all, that's the first thing. And part of it is also attracting audience members. The North Arkansas Symphony, at least part of the mission of the board is to start attracting a larger audience base as we move forward, and as well as musicianship base. And so we're looking at different themes that we can actually utilize that will attract more people. And we're hoping that the Scandinavian, Norwegianish theme will help bring more people in to take a listen to what we're providing. Mm-hmm. We are doing something a little bit different this season. It's most people may be thinking they're going to come in and actually look at the symphony and performing, but we're actually focusing on the chamber string aspect of it for this concert. So we'll be actually having selections performed by our string section, our string ensemble. And at the same time, we're also going to focus on two of our wind players. We have Charlie Schweigert and Kelly Larkin actually playing on, bassoon and clarinet duet. And then we have a fabulous pianist, Scotty Freyer, coming out, and she's going to rock your socks off. She is a tremendously talented student. She's, I believe, 16 homeschooled student in Astoria, but you would look at her, close your eyes, you'd have no clue.
North Arkansas Symphony often plays in the, it's not even South County. It's mm-hmm. actually the next county down. You're in Tillamook County.
Tillamook. Mm-hmm.
Is that because you have a lot of players from there?
Originally, when it started down in Tillamook County.
Oh,
and
I
then
see.
As it started to expand, we moved north. And so we have a dead center rehearsals in Cannon Beach, so both counties can come up and partake. And we're trying to make sure people understand that we are in a rebuilding phase. The poor structure has taken a hit over the last few years. And so we're trying to rebuild, keep the classical music alive, which is very important for that ensemble. And so currently we're really pushing the strings, which is why we're doing the string ensemble. And they're tremendous string players. We're trying to promote that as much as possible, that we are looking for experienced players to come in and audition for that.
How does someone find you to come audition, or if they want more information about... And you keep these two groups separate?
Completely separate,
okay,
yes.
Mm-hmm. So first tell us, since we're talking about North Oregon Coast Symphony, a.k.a. Knox,
mm-hmm.
How does someone get information about that?
So exactly as the name of the group, NorthOregonCoastSymphony.org.
Oh, okay.
And that's the first spot. Another one is email, N-O-C-S, for North Oregon Coast Symphony, N-O-C-S Corey, C-O-R-Y, @gmail.com.
Okay.
And that's another way. And then phone number, I don't mind giving this out because it's all over our websites, 503-836-2198. And we're truthfully, it's a very warm and comfortable atmosphere. We're looking just for string players currently at the moment, but we'll be opening up to full orchestra again shortly here.
Okay. And now let's go back to the Columbia River Symphony with Autumn Magic tomorrow and Sunday. Mm-hmm. How do people contact you for that?
Okay, same thing. It's ColumbiaRiverSymphony.org, and then email is Corey, C-O-R-Y, @ColumbiaRiverSymphony.org.
For a little variety.
And then phone number is the same.
Okay, now you mentioned Nutcracker. When is that happening?
Oh, geez. We have our dress rehearsal coming up, but the actual performances are...
Wait a minute. Are you running that also?
Yes.
Oh, Corey.
December 4th is the dress rehearsal, so December 5th. At 2 o'clock and 7:30, and then December 6th at, I have to check, I'm 99% sure it's 2 o'clock also.
Yeah, it's probably an afternoon one. And that is at the...
high school. The Astoria High School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Astoria High School Auditorium. Mm-hmm. And I think, who do you contact for that?
For that one, I would look up, I'd go online,
Theater?
Look at the Little Belly Theater.
LBT. Okay.
Based out of Warrenton.
And yeah, and they are doing fundraising as well mm-hmm. at this time. I'm exhausted just talking to you, and thank you for getting here. I know that is a huge...
A little bit of a scary drive over.
Well, yeah, and but the bottom line is there isn't anybody else who can do what, because, you know, usually I would just have you talk about one thing, but you're all over the map, so I wanted everybody to know. Hey, thanks so much for coming
Thank
in, Corey.
Very much,
this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org. I do want to let you know that Hope Harris is having a studio sale of arts and antiques Saturday, November 14th from 1 to 8 above the Riversea Gallery. Come during Art Walk. She'll be there. Have a listen, folks, and thanks for being here, and do what Corey said, harmony and peace for humanity.